You're listening to a CNA podcast.
Hello, everyone. It's Crispina here. Adrian is away, so it's just me for the episode. Not a day goes by without some news about generative artificial intelligence. The speed at which it has rolled out, the impact it has on people's lives and jobs, well, depending on who you talk to, can be either worrying or exciting. On today's episode, we want to break this down a bit more clearly. What does it mean when we say AI is coming for your job? Who will be affected? And how should governments and companies be ready for this? To help me unpack and understand this a bit more is Nick Ayres. He's the Vice President of Field Engineering for Asia Pacific in Japan at a company called Databricks. Databricks is an AI and data company. Welcome to our podcast, Nick.
Thank you, Crispina. Thank you for having me.
We usually do this by way of background. Perhaps we can start with your journey.
Mm-hmm.
I know you've come all the way from South Africa.
Correct.
It's your origin story, so to speak. How did that happen? And of course, a little bit about Databricks.
Yeah, absolutely. Hi, everyone. Nick Ayres. I am originally from South Africa, born and raised, so a proud South African. Don't hold that against me if you support the cricket or the rugby. But yeah, born and raised in South Africa and cut my teeth on technology pretty early on. So My career started building management and information systems for financial services companies in sub-Saharan Africa. And it's been an amazing career since then because I've seen the evolution of tech and how tech is now helping transform business, society, and the environment by and large through the use of data and AI over the years. And a couple of the big milestones there, you know, early in my career I was with Stalwart in the industry, which is SaaS statistical analysis software. I was there for close on 10 years direct, 14 years indirect, but saw the evolution of advanced analytics as a board level agenda when I was at SaaS. And then had the good fortune of working for another startup called Horse and Works, got acquired by Cloudera. But they were kind of leading the way around the open source revolution, which drove all of this innovation that we're seeing in the community around new algorithms and new techniques and new collaborative ways of learning and leveraging technology as a community, which was awesome. And now with Databricks, get the best of both worlds, continuing to impact advanced analytics at the C-level agenda and also with citizens and humanity by and large, but leveraging a very simple and powerful software stack that has a phenomenal amount of scale because it runs in the cloud and very simple and easy to use.
Okay, so give me an example of a typical client, right? Let's say if I am a healthcare company.
Yeah.
Not really sure how to scale up using software. So maybe just paint me this idea of what analytics and data and all the software can do to really make me more productive.
Yeah, I love the way you put it because I'm a big proponent of data and AI being used as an assistant to the human in the loop in these processes. Health and life sciences is a pretty good example, actually. And in healthcare, probably one of the most prolific examples of the use of AI, which is very much in use today at large scale, is all around radiology and medical imaging. So you think about the radiologists and all of the analysis that they need to do on the imagery around an MRI scan or an X-ray. Historically, that's the radiologist waiting for that scan to come out and then they manually...
They're looking at all the little dark shadows.
Correct. Now it's an AI model that has computer vision that can interpret that imagery and assess and evaluate and recommend treatment and diagnosis to the radiologist. Right. Not taking the radiologist out of the loop, but making them so much more efficient and effective.
Right.
And I think the net result there is us being able to impact more lives and to have a positive effect on obviously the quality of life.
So it not just speeds up the process. Mm-hmm. Let's say if I go for a lung X-ray, of course I would still need a radiologist.
Yes.
Because frankly, half the time the radiologist is trying to like calm me down.
Correct.
So you do need the human person there. But what the computer does, it is just so precise with what it sees. It's so accurate.
Correct.
It tells the radiologist. But in a way, the radiologist also has to have all their experience reading scans over many people to close the loop on that.
Yeah. And I think you touched on a very important point, which is one of the areas that this technology does not address incredibly well is the emotional intelligence side, right?
Yes.
So a big part of this is we're still dealing with humans, right?
Of course,
so there's the human in the loop doing the diagnosis and the assessment of the treatment, but understanding the human who we're serving and how we connect with them at an emotional level and give them the emotional support that they need to go through that treatment plan or to take on that next step around getting help, whether it be cancer treatment or yes. mental health or whatever it is, emotional intelligence is very hard to reproduce through a model.
Thank goodness for that. Okay, so let's get to the heart of this, right? To me, it feels negative, like, oh, AI is coming after your job. Yep. I don't know why the narrative is so negative, to be honest. But in any case, an IMF report says that 40% of the global workforce will be affected by AI in some shape or form. Mm-hmm. At the very lowest level, like you said, it can replace routine, repetitive tasks.
Yep.
And I think nobody in their right mind would say that's a bad idea. Mm-hmm. I would love it if AI could do half of the repetitive stuff that I do. But at the highest level, people are also worried, and I think we can't take this away, mm-hmm. about displacing traditional work.
Yep.
And I can think of, because I'm in the media,
yeah.
photography.
Yes.
And art, for yep. instance. You know, I see people online using AI to create like a beautiful dragon. And I'm like, oh my God, that could be used as artwork mm-hmm. for any number of things.
Correct.
I could use AI to come up with a podcast artwork.
Correct.
I don't need a person doing it anymore. And so what happens to the person who's,
yeah.
I don't know, who's went to, gone to art school, did graphic design? What do you think? Like, how do you see this?
Yeah, I'll come to that point, but maybe to start with a more fundamental point around, hey, this sort of cyclical change isn't new, right? If we go back in history and we look at all the sort of big revolutions around industrial revolution, agriculture is quite a good one, right? You go back to the 1800s. I think it's something like 90% of the human workforce across the world was in agriculture. Cast your mind forward to kind of the 1950s, it dropped to 20%, and you look at today, it's 1% to 2% of the total worldwide population that's in agriculture.
Right.
So these changes are not unique, and we haven't seen them before, but they're not instant, right? They don't happen overnight. Oh, yeah. As I referenced in that example, it takes a while for these changes to be fully adopted and fully embraced. Mm. And agriculture is a good example. And agriculture is still a phenomenally strong industry today, multi-billion dollar industry, transforming the way that they do farming. And again, largely driven by data and AI to drive greater sustainability, greater yield, and more efficient and effective ways of harvesting and yielding crops.
Yep.
So just as an example, it's just calling out that this isn't unique. We've seen these sort of changes before. That being said, yeah, for sure, the fear, uncertainty, and doubt
yes.
is real. there's definitely a lot of sensationalization, I think, around it
yeah.
because it creates good headlines, good taglines,
yes.
gets people interested. And I'm not disputing the data, right? So yes, there's various studies that kind of point to job displacement, job disruption. And I think it would be remiss of us to ignore that,
yes.
right? But I think it's how we respond to that and what do we do proactively to be prepared for that. And there's this big field around AI preparedness that a lot of people are looking into. So what can we do to respond as positively as we can to these changes? Because
yep.
they are coming. They're here, they're now, and we need to respond appropriately.
Yep.
So to go to your creative example, actually what I see is it again comes down to a lot about the psyche of the individual and okay. kind of the approach. If they've got a continuous learning mindset mm-hmm. and they're looking to learn and develop and grow, the creatives that embrace this technology, they're going to differentiate themselves in the marketplace completely. Mm. And they'll be able to drive these models in a way that nobody else can because
right.
their knowledge and experience is built on sound foundations that they've got either through university or
yes.
practical application work. Mm. And they can feed these models with very precise inputs, prompts to generate amazing content, to your point.
Right.
But without that creative background and those creative foundations and those creative fundamentals, the output you'll get out of the models, it'll be good,
yeah.
may not be great. So I think we still need to focus on education, educating folks on the fundamentals, educating folks on how you can use these tools and techniques, work them into your workflow as a creative. And as a creative, I think it unlocks your imagination. So
yeah.
instead of waiting on human resources to help you realize what you've envisioned in your mind in the way of art or
yeah.
Composing music,
yes.
you can now feed it into the model and the model will automatically realize your imagination.
Your vision. Yeah, your
yeah.
idea. Funny enough, I can tell when something is gone through ChatGPT mm-hmm, for mm-hmm. writing. Maybe now, because the version of ChatGPT is still maybe not sophisticated,
yeah.
but I don't know, because I'm a writer.
Yes.
I could tell.
Yes.
There are certain phrases, there are certain words, the way the sentence is structured
yeah.
is so completely different. But of course, the
yeah.
caveat is it can become very sophisticated.
Correct. But I think, again, to the point, it's not relying on it wholesale copy-paste, right?
Yeah.
But it's using it as an enabler to make your workflow more effective and efficient. Mm. So it may not necessarily, to your point in the creative writing side, it may not form the basis for 100% of the article, but maybe it allows you to explore and analyze topics where maybe your knowledge isn't as deep and quickly get summaries that you can insert into your article. Yes. And you put the creative twist on top.
Yeah. So for pods, the transcripts are quite important.
Yep.
And the software that we use, AI actually does a summary.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, and the summary was pretty good, I have to say, because it cuts short me having to go through the entire transcript, listen to, and then pick out the key points. It basically does that for me.
Fantastic. And that's a great example, right, of how when AI is infused and embraced, it can really transform the way that you work. You become more productive. And really what you get to focus on is the amazing creative sort of questioning and thinking around how to structure the podcast and the tough questions you throw at me.
No, not tough at all. Okay, the Singapore government, as you know, thinks decades ahead.
Yes.
With all sorts of committees and blueprints and strategies.
Yeah.
And so AI is definitely on their radar.
100%.
In fact, they recently revised a national strategy regarding AI. The aim is to have systems in place to support companies, obviously, to bring people like you into the ecosystem. But ultimately, I think the worry is for the workers.
Yes.
Singapore is what we call an advanced economy, right? So PMETs are a very sizable part of that economy. So it's a knowledge kind of thing. How do you look at this? What is the role of the government?
Yeah.
Should it be less frantic about planning and leave it to the ecosystem to just develop? Or it actually plays a very critical role?
Yeah, I think it plays an incredibly critical role. Mm. But there is balance that's required, right? And I think the balance is a fine line to strike. And I must admit, I'm aware of the government's position. We've looked at that ourselves, and we've been very fortunate to talk to some of the government agencies ourselves as well. And I think the Singapore stance is very progressive, and they're very well prepared. I mentioned that preparedness framework that a lot of governments and companies and individuals are starting to look at. There's actually a recent study around AI preparedness, and Singapore is one of the top countries worldwide. Right. I think it's followed only by Denmark, and I forget the third. But Singapore's right up there as leading player in AI preparedness. And I think it comes down to a couple of things, right? You want the government involved, because in the absence of government involvement, there's a couple of things that we should be concerned about. One is obviously everything around ethics, responsibility.
Oh, yeah.
Making sure that, hey, when industry embraces this tech, that we do put the citizen at the heart of it, and we do put the consumer at the heart of it, and we think deeply and reflect deeply on the experience that we're creating for citizens and consumers alike, and that we're protecting their personal confidentials in that process, and that when we make a decision to serve citizen and to serve consumer, that decision has no bias in it, right?
Right.
That it's a very sound decision that's made on valid data, accurate data, and has no bias. So I think it's really important that government plays an active role, and that comes down to regulation and compliance.
Right.
And a lot of people look at that and go, but Nick, that's going to slow things down. It's going to make it very convoluted and difficult. I would actually argue the inverse. I think in the absence of regulation and compliance, there's potential risk that people will distrust everything that is AI-driven, AI-infused. There's potentially companies that won't get behind the innovation agenda of data and AI for fear and risk of their IP being repurposed and taken by someone else. So I think the government has to play a very active role in governing it effectively without curbing the innovation cycle.
Yeah, without being too interfering.
Correct.
It's like parenting, right? Not
correct.
To be too overprotective.
Not too overbearing, but some guidance and some guardrails are good.
Yeah. I want to ask you, when you say that we are quite progressive and we want to be prepared, what does being progressive really mean? What sets us apart from, let's say, another country, maybe not so interested in AI or not so focused on it?
Yeah, the focus on the workforce is something that is very clear. There's a lot of effort, and it's really well thought out and well articulated around skills for the future and making sure that the workforce of the future is something that the country is focused on building and putting in place proper education programs, upskilling, reskilling initiatives to allow folks to embrace this data and AI wave of disruption, but embrace that in a positive way, right? So we have these future skills for future roles that we don't even know are potentially coming. I was reading a very interesting article that 60% of the jobs today didn't exist 80 years ago.
Oh, wow.
So who knows what the jobs in the future are? All we can do is be prepared by educating folks on the fundamentals of this technology, how to embrace it, how to use it. And I think the Singapore government's got a great education strategy.
Okay.
I think the other thing is specifically around the consultative process. And you referenced it yourself, right? A lot of people look at it and they might be a little bit look at it with a negative frame. I think it's great that the government is consulting with industry leaders, both the big mega corporations as well as others.
And the small startups.
To understand like, hey, how are you thinking about using this? How are you thinking about embracing this? And how can we support you on this data and AI agenda? And then I think the third piece is continued investment in innovation, which the Singapore government has set a fair amount of money aside for and has some phenomenal programs underway. I'm aware, obviously, of Project Sea Lion. I don't know if you saw that announcement. No. They're building a large language model that caters for Southeast Asian languages. I think it's a phenomenal initiative. Off the back of that, you can imagine a world where products and services in Southeast Asia, you'll now be able to engage and leverage its products and services in your local language, in your local country, thanks to this amazing work.
Okay, they're doing some good things. That's good to know. Okay, the listeners of this podcast, to be really honest, care about their jobs, right?
Yes.
And the government has said there's an estimated 15,000 jobs related to AI that will be needed. Now, I was reading this as well. For all the new jobs that will be created, there will be just as many, in fact, more that will have to go, right? It's a natural industrial revolution change. There is a group, and I would say not a small one, that feels pretty overwhelmed.
Mm-hmm.
Even if they wanted to, they wouldn't know where to go and how to start.
Yeah.
Whose responsibility do you think this is?
Yeah.
Is it the company who says, okay, you know what? I'm going to look at this entire workforce that I have. Of the 100 people, these 20 guys are going to be hit by automation.
Yeah.
What am I going to do with those 20 guys? And then actively look at that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Or is it the 20 guys who are thinking, oh, shucks, the machine is coming for my job. I don't need to subtitle physically anymore.
Yeah.
A machine is going to subtitle this like perfectly.
Correct. It's an and. It's an and at the end of the day, right? I think from the company's perspective, they need to be very clear on what their data and AI agenda and strategy is. And they need to articulate that. And I would argue that any company or organization that is not thinking around having data and AI as a core part of their strategic agenda, we could argue they probably won't exist, right, in a couple of years' time, because we have this old adage of software eating the world. Today, it's data and AI that's eating software. So if you're not thinking deeply and reflecting deeply around how you embed data and AI into your overall business strategy, one could argue that you probably won't be around because everyone is using it to differentiate the products and the services that they provide to citizen and consumer.
Right.
So I think the company needs to be very clear on the agenda that they're setting, the strategy that they're working towards. And then invite people within the organization to put up their hands, to self-select, to nominate themselves, to put themselves forward, to go, hey, I want to be a part of this change. I want to contribute to this change. And I would love to embrace this as a part of my workflow.
Yep.
And I think that's the important part, is the sort of intellectual curiosity is what's required of the individual. To be intellectually curious, to embrace it, not resist it, put up your hand, get involved, figure out how you can use these tools and techniques in your workflow and give suggestions to the company around, hey, we could do this better as a result.
Yeah.
Or with the time that we freed up, hey, I can go on to do these other strategic things, creative things that actually will have a bigger impact on the company.
So it's both.
Yes.
You're saying.
It's an and.
Okay, that's a cop-out answer. It's an and answer. But it makes sense. It perfectly makes sense because you can't just leave it to the poor worker to figure it out, right?
Correct.
I mean, he doesn't have the resources. He doesn't have the agency.
Correct. And they should be asking of the companies that they're in, where is our data and AI strategy? And if you if you're not getting a clear answer, that's a pretty good indicator. Maybe
time
you should.
To go.
So maybe you should look somewhere else.
Okay, but related to that, right? And this is another thing that's come up in Singapore quite a bit. I've heard this before, that you need to be curious, you need to be adaptable, you need to really want to change. But there are folks who won't.
Yeah.
Okay, let's just face it. That's how life is, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so those who will reap the benefits.
Yes.
I would say monetary benefits, everything, right?
Correct.
All the spoils of this new world. And those who don't will be stuck and the stratification becomes bigger. Is this something that worries people like you guys in this space?
Yeah, look, I think it's fair to say, done incorrectly, executed incorrectly, there absolutely is a risk that you create more divisive inequalities,
yes,
right?
Yep.
In the haves and the have-nots. And I think, again, that's where government needs to play a very prominent role, right? In, again, skills for the future, you know, upskilling and reskilling the talent that we have. To your point, there may be individuals, for whatever reason, that just cannot go on that journey, that we've got to think around the social and safety guards that
right.
we have in place.
The support,
the safety nets and the supports that we have in place for those individuals, because it shouldn't be that we're creating inequality that can't be addressed. So that's something that needs to be considered 100%. I think you're right. There will be individuals that will need those social safety nets, and that's where government needs to step in and help.
Right. Okay. Some are calling this the new industrial revolution. What are your personal predictions? Of course, you're biased as a data man, but now tell me, do you think someday even the radiologist will be replaced by a robot doing the x-ray?
I think we're a long way off from that. I think we're a long way off from that.
Maybe that's 2.0.
Yeah, 2.0, 1.B.
Okay. sure.
But yeah, I think we're a long way off from that. I envisage data and AI being embedded in every workflow for every industry and for every job.
What's your time frame?
Within the next 3 to 5 years. In some shape or form, people will be adding this into their workflow.
Okay.
Does that mean that it's replacing the individual? I would still argue no. I think there's still a huge amount of value having the human in the loop. One, to make sure that, again, we're being ethical and responsible in how we're using this. Two, I think, to your earlier points in the earlier discussion, the emotional intelligence, the human intelligence that we need to add on top is something that is going to be incredibly hard to disrupt for quite a considered period of time. And then three, I think folks are going to find really creative ways to use that free time to go and do other amazing things. So imagine if everybody embraces that free time and puts that to work for good. So think about the climate, think about the environment, think about for good initiatives around mental health or well-being. If everyone could find some time to give back and focus in on as an organization around the sort of corporate social responsibility side, what an amazing place we'll be in.
I really like that. So recently I spent an hour listening to Sam Altman.
Yeah.
Of course, everybody knows who he is. So my teacher friends I used to teach tell me that their kids are using ChatGPT to answer questions.
Yes.
But the teachers too are using ChatGPT to set questions. Yeah, so he was talking to Trevor Noah, another South African. Yeah. And Trevor asked him what I thought was a really brilliant question. The product that Sam Altman created will lead to people losing jobs. I think that is certainly one small reality in this whole business. Trevor's question to him was, I hope that you will know what it's like to lose a job because you lost it for a hot minute.
Yes.
Right? And he said, yes. It sobered him up to just how fast things can change.
Correct.
You said 3 to 5 years.
Yeah.
Honestly, that would feel like 24 hours.
Correct.
Right? For businesses who are trying to compete. Sam Altman basically said that he feels humans cannot be defeated by machines.
Yeah.
You agree?
I do agree. I don't see this as the end of society by and large or humanity by and large. I think, again, those are quite sensationalist theories and I know they're out there.
Yeah.
Myself, ever the optimist, I do think what will set humanity apart is how we embrace and leverage this for the greater good and to unlock the limitless human potential that we have.
Yeah. Exactly. Our ability to thrive, to survive, to succeed is unprecedented, right?
Correct.
We're still at the apex for now.
Yep.
I don't know what will happen in the future. But I think that there is that part which I think we need to embrace.
Yes.
The fact that we should always be the ones in control.
100%. It goes back to that discussion around maybe one of the other things I'll mention around what I see coming is this concept of AI governance is going to be so important, right? To your point, like we need to have control over this technology and we need to have control over how these models are used and the decisions that they're making. So this whole area around AI governance, again, ethics and responsibility in addition to everyone embracing the change, is going to be a big part of the success story here.
Right.
Get that wrong, you're in a world of pain. Get it right, yeah, you'll be off to the races.
Yeah. But exciting times, I think. Thank you, no Nick, problem. For joining us on this wonderful conversation. I hope you enjoyed the conversation that I've had with Nick as well. Please do us a big favor and go to Spotify and Apple and follow us. Leave us a review, comment, or question. These things help us a great deal in the kind of content we serve up. Thank you to my podcast team as well. Until we see you next week.